This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And McAdams Millwright Service. And now, with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here for Ag News on your Wednesday afternoon. Longtime ethanol backer and Iowa U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley says he's encouraged by the Biden EPA that they're siding with the ethanol industry in a case that goes before the Supreme Court later on this month. The ethanol industry and the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals says the Environmental Protection Agency can only grant ethanol waivers to oil refiners who got them continuously in prior years. Refiners Holly Frontier and CVR Energy argue that Congress intended exemptions should be available for application at any time. Senior Finance Panel member and former Chairman Chuck Grassley helped write the RFS law and is leaving it up to the Supreme Court to interpret it, but adds this.
I am emboldened by, first of all, a Republican EPA person saying he was going to abide by the 10th Circuit. And then when it came to a new administration, they were going to defend it before the Supreme Court.
The gap year waivers case testing statutory intent comes before the High Court on April 27th. Grassley, meantime, says the president needs to get ethanol vehicles into any infrastructure plan, not just electric ones, as half of new sales by 2025.
And then all cars by 2035. And then at 2035, you wouldn't have any ethanol industry. Number two would be we ought to learn a lesson from the freeze in Texas. When you can't get electricity, what are you going to do when you can't charge your car? You're going to sit in a snowbank after the battery runs down?
Grassley says it makes more sense to include alternative and conventional fuels in any energy plan to reduce carbon emissions, which he claims are the lowest in decades, while China, India, and others continue to pollute the world. And in other ethanol news, this time from Indiana, Growth Energy has recently sent a letter to Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb urging him to veto Senate Bill 303, which covers proposed rules on the sale of E15 there in Indiana. Chad Smith has more from Indianapolis.
Emily Score, Growth Energy CEO, says they're speaking out against a bill that the oil industry had a heavy hand in crafting.
It was designed to stall new competition at the pump and prevent more consumers from saving money on higher octane ethanol blends. Specifically, the bill would slap a new cigarette-style warning on E15 dispensers, and the labels that they are proposing conflict with federal stickers already required on each pump, so you're just leading to more consumer confusion. Then the legislation also muddies key regulations that intimidate and prevent retailers from offering the higher biofuel blend. Worse, the bill was rammed through the legislature without considering any amendments from state leaders representing biofuel producers and without any serious consideration of the ultimate consequences. Simply put, SB 303 is a favor to oil refiners at the expense of farmers, biofuel workers, and all Hoosier families.
E15 is incredibly important for farmers in Indiana, which is the fourth largest ethanol producer in the country.
In fact, about half of Indiana's corn is used for ethanol and value-added co-products produced at an ethanol plant. A new study conducted by Agriculture and Biofuels Consulting shows that a statewide shift to E15, this is what it would do to Indiana's economy. It would add $377 million to the state's economy, 51 million bushels of new grain demand, and that's a value of about $195.8 million. It would add $118.6 million to Indiana household income and $33.2 million to state and local tax revenues.
She says by slowing demand for E15, SB 303 risks sacrificing one of the state's most promising opportunities to lead the way on clean energy and agricultural growth. Plus, in the wake of COVID-19, the last thing Indiana's economy needs is an assault on ethanol producers and farm suppliers across the state. SCORE talks about what this means for drivers returning to the roads for the first time since COVID-19.
Currently, E15 is offered at more than 2,300 retail locations across 30 states, including 79 locations in Indiana. And it continues to grow in popularity, in part because it's a higher octane fuel that saves motorists 3 to 10 cents on every single gallon. SB 303 would deprive more Hoosier families that chance to save at the pump, and it slows progress toward cleaner air for everyone. In Indiana alone, the transition to E15 promises to slash greenhouse gas emissions by 455,000 metric tons. That is the equivalent of taking more than 99,000 vehicles off Indiana roads every year. Higher ethanol blends also displace the need for toxic fuel additives linked to cancer, asthma, and smog, all thanks to clean energy harvested on Indiana farms.
She says ethanol supporters can make their voices heard.
We are rallying farm voices across Indiana to demand Governor Eric Holcomb veto SB 303. To show your support for E15, we urge listeners to take advantage of Growth Energy's easy-to-use comment portal by texting VETO NOW, that's one word, VETO NOW, to 52886.
Again, Emily Score is the CEO of Growth Energy. Chad Smith reporting.
As we all know, it's planting season across mid-Illinois, and the only way a seed is going to get to the farm is generally being shipped by truck. And the trucking industry needs more drivers as we get into the busier season of spring and summer. We joined Don Schaefer with the Springfield-based Midwest Truckers Association.
We have such a tremendous need for drivers. That is number one. Number two, there is starting to become a shortage of equipment out there. And even the dealers will tell you that the lead times for getting new equipment is stretching into many months. If you wanted to order a truck now, in many situations, you won't be able to get it until late fall. So these are, you know, issues out there that are definitely, you know, that are definitely out there. You know, but safety, again, you know, we're talking with all this new traffic out there, safety is a big issue. And one of the things that we always not warn, but advise truck operators that across North America, Canada, United States, Mexico, May 4th, 5th, and 6th is the annual road check. This is where all the police agencies do their truck enforcement blitz on the interstate highways, on the state highways, everywhere. And it's a safety, you know, it's a safety blitz. They're checking everything. They're checking the equipment. They're checking driver credentials. They want to make sure that, you know, people are out there, that the trucks out there are operating safely, and that the equipment is safe. And it's all hands on deck for the law enforcement for these 3 days, 4th, 5th, and 6th.
The Midwest Truckers Association includes 3,700 members across 15 states, and they include grain and livestock haulers. In the latest state crop progress and condition report we have from last week, there were 3.8 days suitable to work in the field during last week that ended on Sunday. Statewide, the average temperature was just under 60 degrees, about 12 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged 1.8 inches, about an inch above normal. The topsoil moisture, however, was a bit drier, rated at 6% short, 73% adequate, 21% surplus. Subsoil moisture was about the same, 6% short, 81 adequate, and 13 surplus. Corn planted as of Sunday reached 5% compared to the 5-year average of 1%, and winter wheat headed is at 3% compared to the 5-year average of 1%. Winter wheat condition as of Sunday is 11% very poor to poor, 16% fair, 54% good, and 19% excellent. In other state news here on your Wednesday, the Illinois Department of Natural Resources is touting a new program called Cicada. No, it's not the invasive bug whose shell is left behind on trees, but rather a program aimed at better land and wildlife management. DNR Deputy Director Rachel Torbert says the online resource aims to engage the public and private sector in habitat protection, restoration, and biodiversity conservation through voluntary action.
It stands for Conservation Inclusive Construction and Development Archive, and that you know, we put that all together, Cicada. Basically what that is for anybody, whether you are a general contractor, you're in commercial, you know, property development, you're a private landowner, it's a website that you can go to that gives you ideas on how to protect habitat as you are going through these building projects. So let's say you're a private landowner and you are, you know, you want to put a shed up on your property. It gives you some ideas on how to incorporate pollinator habitat or ensure that you're not endangering any other wildlife or habitat. For commercial developers, it does the exact same thing. Tells you what species you might need to be aware of in your area and how to protect that, how to add wildlife and habitat enhancements to continue to protect that as you continue to develop these projects. So it's really for anybody to use, but it's a great resource, again, to not only encourage development, but encourage wildlife protections as you're developing property.
According to Torbert, the information in the guide is very in-depth and covers everything from short, fun-to-read introductions and how-to conservation to habitat management guidance documents, as well as more in-depth technical documents. Users also will be linked to assistance programs for landowners and conservation tax-deductible donation opportunities through the Illinois Conservation Foundation. For more information, go online to cicada-idnr.org. Again, that's cicada-idnr.org for more information on the program. And in local ag news here on your Wednesday, the Macoupin County Pork Producers will be holding a cookout that will benefit a rural cemetery by Carlinville. It'll be held on the Carlinville Square coming up on Friday morning. Serving starts at 11. The 4x4's 4-H Club of Macoupin County is holding a food drive now through next Saturday, April 24th. Items being collected are canned goods, soups, macaroni and cheese, peanut butter, jelly, and more. Collection boxes are located at Randy's Market in Gillespie and Benelled, the Benelled Public Library, and Associated Bank in Mount Olive. If you need more information on how to donate, you can call 217-835-2222. And the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders will be holding their April meeting this evening at the Farm Bureau office on the Courthouse Square in Hillsboro. That meeting begins tonight at 7. And that wrap up your Ag News here on a Wednesday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday afternoon, April 14th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.